We have spent some time, the past two times, in talking about David's great sin. And the reason we pay attention to it is because we do not want to gloss over it, and we do not want to gloss over it because the Word of God does not gloss over it. It's a frightful, awful, terrible sin, and that's just the way that the Word of God presents it. And that's the way that we want to present it just as it is. We want to tell it as it is. Now, David committed an awful sin. He was guilty of murder. He was guilty of adultery. And then added to that, he was guilty of misrepresentation. His base deceit in all of this. And the very interesting thing, when you get into sin, it's sort of like a fly getting stuck on flypaper. You put down one thing, and then that leads you to do something else. And so David found himself hopelessly enmeshed in an awful sin, and a sin that a child of God should not be guilty of at all. Now, the question is, did he lose his salvation? And of course, the answer is no. He did not lose his salvation. If you'll notice in that marvelous 51st Psalm, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." He didn't say his salvation. He hadn't lost it, but he lost the joy. And that joy that came with fellowship with God. And this man had a passion and love for God that very few have. And he wants to be back into relationship with God. Now, he just can't sin and get by with it. Now, I hear a great many people say, well, all you have to do today is just confess your sin, and you'll just bounce right back into position. You will, as far as your fellowship and relationship is concerned. But if you think, my friend, you can go out and commit sin and then walk out of it and it not affect you, you certainly do not know very much about human nature. Because these things all affect us psychologically. All of these things have their effect upon us. And you just can't walk away from it. You'll be forgiven if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that doesn't mean that we do not still have the effect of it in our lives. What is that old bromide about, if you're going to dance, you got to pay the fiddler? Somebody's got to pay him. And if you're going to indulge in sin, then there'll be the consequences. Or let the Lord give it to us straight. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, there's no question, David is sown to the flesh. You think now he can walk away from this and make just a sweet little confession like a lot of people think they make today, and that's it? I heard one fellow say, well, the blood of Christ covers it. Sure does. You don't lose your salvation, brother. But I want to tell you, underneath sometime there's that festering sore. Now, that brings me then to this 13th chapter. Now, David has made confession of his sin. God has told him, he says, you've caused my enemies to blaspheme me because of doing this. I won't give you up. Thank God he won't give us up. But you didn't get by with it, David. Now, chickens do come home to roost.